Sayyidi Tevbe ve Yeşiva Sayfa.
Tammuz, the beginning of the 3 weeks, there was a person that was in a lot of pain during the night. Internal stomach pain, a lot of pain. He took an aspirin, a Panadol, took different painkillers. The pain just didn't go away. He's literally crying and crying and crying so much from the pain. Literally tears and tears. I'm just crying away. In the morning, he had an emergency appointment with his doctor. And he said to the doctor, "I was crying and crying in so much pain. Why was I crying?" So the doctor said, "Let me explain to you why you were crying. You see, the eye has ducts. And it sheds emotional tears. It releases oxytocin and endorphins. And those chemicals, when a person cries, it makes a person feel better." Right? Now, the way it works is, and he starts explaining how there's a neurotransmitter called acetylcholine, right, and a tiny molecule that stimulates the tear production. So when you're in emotional pain, it activates a nervous system that activates tear-producing system that tears start crying. So the fellow said, "Yeah, very nice. You're telling me exactly how tears come about, right?" But the doctor has missed the point. He came and he said, "He was in a lot of pain. Why is he crying so much?" He didn't have to know a whole biological lesson on how tears work and what causes the tears. He wanted to get to the roots of the problem. So holding Shivasa Batamas, beginning of the 3 weeks, right, still in Golas, a person has to try to understand what's the roots of the problem. There was a Maggid Shir in Yeshiva Shai Yoshev in America, in New York. And he was driving in New York City, not in such a great area, and the inevitable happened that his tire hit a rock and he had a flat tire. So he called the AA. He's sitting in his car just waiting for the AA to come, seeing all these different types of people walking past. He felt very insecure, very uncomfortable. And a man, a Latino man in his 60s, pulls up next to him, introduces himself as Donnie. His name is Donnie. And he starts speaking to him in Yiddish. So he says, "Are you Jewish?" So he smiles and he says, "No, I'm not." So he says, "If you're not Jewish, how did you learn such a fluent Yiddish?" So he said to him, "Have you ever heard a Rabbi Yoel Teitelbaum?" So he goes, "You mean the Rebbe of Satmar, the Satmar Rebbe from Williamsburg?" He goes, "Yes, the one and only." He goes, "Well," he says, "I was a security guard. I worked in the New York police departments. Right, and I actually grew a beard and some little payas, right? And I would be there as a security guard, keeping the crowds in control. And I was there, you know. So, and I can tell who is a real one, who is an imposter." He goes, "How could you tell?" He goes, "Well, you're always hunched over and you're always shaking. If somebody came in and he was just standing very still, I knew that he wasn't from your group." Right, so I worked out who it was. Then this Latino fellow says to this Ramosha Green, he says, "Tell me, have you ever heard of the term Yiddish a cop?" So he says, "Yes." "Yeah, but first, the Jews are very smart and very clever." So he says to him, "Look," Donnie says, this guy says to this Ramosha Green, he goes, "I heard that you used to live in Israel and you used to have a temple, a beautiful place where you used to get together for your holidays. Is that right?" So he says, "Yes, that's true. And I heard that it was destroyed about 2,000 years ago because you couldn't get along with each other." So he goes, "Yes, that's true." He goes, "Well, tell me, if you guys are so smart and you got a Yiddish cop, after 2,000 years you haven't worked out how to get along with each other anymore?" Right? But that's a Shivas of the Tammuz. The Rambam says it's not just about the fasting. Right, Shiva Subatamas is a day, a fast day, Rambam says it's a day of looking in the mirror, a day of introspection, a day of saying what happened on this day and how could we rectify it. So we know that on Shavuos Tammuz, as we said in the Slichas this morning, five things happened today. Moshe Rabbeinu broke the Luchos, the Nebuchadnezzar's army, they prevented the bringing of the Korban Tomid every day. The walls of Yerushalayim were breached, Hukva, Ha'er, the walls were breached. And the general, the Greek general, Apostopsis, publicly burnt the Sefer Torah, and a Tselem was put in the Heichal. It sounds like five random different tragedies happened on Shavuos Tammuz. But if you analyze each and every one of them, you'll see that they're very, very closely connected. Right? Hukva Ha'e, the wall surrounding Yerushalayim was breached. Right? We had Yerushalayim, we had the Beis HaMikdash. The walls were breached, but the Beis HaMikdash was still there. The Avodah still carried on. Right? It's like when you have some nuts. Right, so you have the outer shell, and then you got the fruit. You have the nut inside. Right? The outer shell broken doesn't mean that the nut is not edible, and it's not safe. It is. It's still okay, but the outer shell, the protective edge, was taken away. So Hukva'ir, they still had the Beis HaMikdash. The Avodah still carried on, Kahanim, Ba'avodasim, Levim, B'Shirim, Zimram, it all carried on. But the wall protecting the Beis HaMikdash, protecting Yerushalayim, was gone. The Greek general came and he burnt a Sefer Torah. Which Sefer Torah was it? It was the Sefer Torah of Ezra. Tiferes Yisrael says it was the Sefer Torah of Ezra. It was the most accurate Sefer Torah that we had. And as long as we had that Sefer Torah, you could take any other Sefer Torah and compare it to the Sefer Torah of Ezra. And you get the accuracy and the authenticity of every Sefer Torah based on the Sefer Torah of Ezra. So as long as the Sefer Torah of Ezra was around, right, it protected the accuracy and authenticity of all the other Sefer Torah. So the attack on that Sefer Torah of Ezra, right, was that protective cover of all other Sefer Torah was attacked. On Shavuos Tammuz, Shivra HaLuchos. The Luchos broke. The Luchos, we got a second set of Luchos. The Gemara in Erevin, Daf Nun Dalet, says that with the first set of Luchos, there was no Shikchas HaTorah. There's no forgetfulness of Torah. In other words, Torah would never be forgotten. Every chelik, every part and parcel of Torah would always be remembered with the authenticity, accuracy, exactly the way it was. Right? With the breaking of the first Luchos, that protective cover of the transmitting the authenticity of Torah and not forgetting any part of Torah was broken. That protective wall around Torah was breached. Right, the Korban Tomid, right, the Medrash says, right, that as long as there were Kabonis, there was a protection for Klal Yisrael. Right, it says now you don't have Kabonis, you can Nisham Baparnas of Seinu, say Kabonis, but it was there as a protective cover for Klal Yisrael that everything would be a rat. And Salem Beheichel is the same thing. Right, until then, there was only Kedusha V'Tahara in the Beis HaMikdash. Right, when a Tzelem was put in the Heichel, so to speak, there was competition, there was uncertainty, there was another power, an Avodah Zorah, a foreign power placed over there, and that protective measure of the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash was broken. So the five individual different things that happened on Shavuos Tammuz were actually quite connected. But let's focus on one of them for a moment. Hukva Ha'ir, the walls were breached. Walls have a dual function. A wall around the house offers protection. It stops intruders from coming in. Walls of a house offer privacy. We learned yesterday, Matoiva Alecha Yaakov Mishkan Esach Yisrael, right? Shalayoy Pischeim Mechavono Ezel Ezeh. The walls of a house, the doors of a house, offer to respect everybody else's privacy. But walls can also create barriers. They stop people from seeing each other. They stop the connection. They create a sense of loneliness. We begin Eicha, Eicha Yoshua Bodod, Ha'era Bosiyom. Eicha Yoshua Bodod, Klai Yisrael, which was the center of the universe. All Yidden, all nations came to the Beis HaMikdash. And here, the Beis HaMikdash, the Shechina was in Golos, Eicha Yoshua Bodod. There's a sense of loneliness, something very, very sad, something distressing. The question is, that we learned yesterday, that Bilam actually praised Klal Yisrael with exactly the same words of Bodod. Hein am levodod yishkon. Yishkon uvagoyim lo yischashov. Right, so we actually see that Bodod, hein am levodod yishkon, being alone, right, was actually a praise to Klal Yisrael. Right, same Zoyis HaBrocha, v'yishkon Yisrael betach bodod, that Klal Yisrael can sit comfortably bodod alone. So alone, bodod, is that something which is praiseworthy? Or is it something which is, has a negative connotation to it? And the answer is that there's two types of bodod, there's two types of alone. There's alone where there's a sense of loneliness, where a person is completely alone, he's by himself, everything's more painful because he doesn't have other people to share his pain, and he feels all alone. But there's another type of alone. It's where a person is comfortable where he is, and they're very happy exactly the way they are. Right? You know, you can see Ben Azmanim, right? Especially Pesach Ben Azmanim, lots of people, newlyweds, they all come home, and you can walk down the street, and you can literally tell who's a newlywed. It's fascinating. You just probably take your kids to school in the morning, you can see, you can see the couple when they're newlyweds, how they're walking down the street. Yeah, they're alone, they're in their own bubble. Right? Yeah, they don't notice anything that's going on, right? Your married children come back, they visit you for Pesach, right? And the house is flying, and you just need the extra pair of hands in the kitchen. That young chassan and kala, they're in the seventh heaven, they're alone in their own worlds. So that alone is something which is good, right? They just love each other and they're there for each other. Right? So there's two types of bodod. By a mitzvah, the pasuk says bodod yeshiv mechutz lamachna, because he created that isolation. He created that people were alone. He separated people from other people. He caused the machlokes. So therefore, he's bodod yeshiv mechutz lamachna. There's the two different types of being alone. You can have a shul, you can have a room full of people, right, but people don't necessarily know each other, they're not reaching out to each other, so it's completely alone. The Sefer Darsiyon says that Bilam was called to curse out Klal Yisrael. So Balak says to Bilam, no, go curse out Klal Yisrael. So Bilam says, I can't curse them out. They're protected. I can't curse them. So, Balak says to Bilam, tell me, can you curse other nations? He goes, yeah, other nations have a koyach to curse them, to be mekalo, but Klal Yisrael, I don't have that koyach. So he says, okay, so curse them together. Do the other nations together with Klal Yisrael, mix it all together, and give a curse to other nations with Klal Yisrael. So Bilam said, I can't. Hein am levodod yishkoin. Right? They dwell alone. They don't mix with other nations. I can't really curse them with other nations. So he brings down the Balak said to Bilam, that says by Megillas Esther, Yeshneam echad mefuzim mefarid ben amim. You see that they do spread out. The mefuzim mefarid ben amim said motzim mois mefuzaris hareim shaloi. If you find money spread out on the street, the Bailam have given up hope. Yeah, and you can do what you want. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is meyayish on them. So Bilam said back to Balak, yeah, that when you find coins, if they're piled up, that tziburim yachads, then you're not allowed to take it. The owner didn't give up hope. Klal Yisrael are tziburim yachads. Yeah, they stay together. They're am levodod yishkon. We have that achdus. I cannot curse them. So Balak said to Bilam, yeah, but the Meister Klal Yisrael amongst all other nations, yeah, the bottle b'shishim. If the bottle b'shishim, just like you have a little bit of cheese that falls into a big pot of cholent, yeah, it's bottle b'shishim. Everything is mutter. It's gone. It's completely mixed in. So Klal Yisrael mixing with the nations. Yeah, you can go and curse them. Right. So Bilam said back, right? That when you have a chaticha roilis chabeds, when you have a shtick or something, which is almost very choshev, right? A big piece of meat, a little bit of cheese, and it's a big part of cholent, it gets all mixed up. Yeah, if you have a big piece of trefa meat, falls into cholent, if it's chaticha roilis chabeds, it's a mechubedik piece of meat that doesn't become bottom b'shishim. Or dovash b'minyan doesn't become bottom b'shishim, something which he counts as individual pieces cannot become bottom b'shishim. Right, Klal Yisrael, every yid is choshev. Every yid is a chaticha roi leschabit. If every yid is a chaticha roi leschabit, and every yid is counted for who they are, they're dovash b'minyan, they don't become bottle with the other umay sa'olam, and therefore I cannot go and curse them. So there's a ma'aseh with Ramesh Feinstein. Now, Ramesh, as we all know, is Rosh Hashiva, Pesach Hador, right, the Manig Hador. And he was very, very busy. He had a very, very, very busy schedule. Communal issues, meetings, shilas and shuvas, backwards and forwards. You see the go through Igros Meisho. And it was during one particular meeting, a very, very important meeting, and he excuses himself. He says he has to go. He has to have a chasana. He needs to go. And he tells his driver, come, let's go. And the driver takes him to a chasana. And the driver knew there's the middle of a very, very important meeting. So he asked him, whose chasana are we going to? Is it a Talmud? He says, no. A family member? He says, no, just I need to go. So they come to the chasana, and Ramesh comes in, Gadol Hador comes in, everybody's, you know, the Baal Simcha, the father of the chasan, comes over, Shalom Aleichem, sits him down. And Ramesh says, I'm here, I'm mishpacha with the kala. I'm a korev of the kala, and he says, I must tell you that the kala is the most wonderful girl. You got a jewel as a daughter-in-law. So, everybody comes over, different people come, give shalom, get brachas. And Ramesh, he sits down, he takes his time, stays much longer than usual at a wedding. And then he says to the mechutin, to the father of the chosen, can I see the kala? I just want to wish the kala mazel tov. Also very unusual. Right. So the kala comes to the mechitza and he wishes the kala mazel tov, so good to see you. And Ramesh leaves. So they're driving back. And the driver says to Ramesh, I don't want to be rude, the chutzpah did, but you told me you're not a relative. Then you come to the chasana, you say you're a korev, and you stay longer, so you go to the kala, you have to wish the kala mazel tov. Very unusual behavior for the Rosh Hashiva. Why did you do this? They said, I'll tell you, that a few days ago, this kala came to see me, she came for a bracha. And I gave her a bracha, she's getting married. And then she starts crying. And she says she's from Yerushalayim, very, very poor family, right? Married this boy from America. The chasan side said they'll pay for everything, all the expenses, but the chasana has to take place in America, and the young couple have to live in America. She came from a very unfortunate, very difficult situation to say that, yeah, chasana will be in America, and they have to live in America, they'll pay for everything. But she really felt terrible that even her family couldn't afford to come, and she felt mamish all alone. So she said to Ramesh, can you come as a family member? You're my family. Can you come? Ramesh said, but we're not related. I don't mind, I'll come, but we're not mishpacha. So she said, really, we are. We're all Bnei Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. So we're all cousins. Yeah, so we're mishpacha. So Ramesh says, I can't argue with that. I'll come. Yeah, Taka, we'll crave him. We'll crave him. Yeah. So Ramesh came. Yeah, he came to the chasana. Is it a family member? Drive asked. Not mamish, but we'll crave him. He came to the chasana, he told the father of the chosin, yeah, I'm craving with the kala. Right? Boom. You know, the father said, yeah, I would have been mechabed you with the siddur kedusha. No, I had a meeting, I was busy, I couldn't come earlier. You know, but I'm craving. Right? He said, and why did he have to go to the mechitza and wish the kala mazel tov? He says, because the kala wouldn't have known if I'd come or not. I go over to the mechitza, I wish a mazel tov, she'll know that I came to the chasana, it'll make her night. She'll be so, so happy. Right? That was Ramesh. Yeah, to look out for the other person. That person felt alone. He wanted to make her happiness to be complete. She's a chaticha roi leschabed. Every yid is a chaticha roi leschabed. Every yid is accounted as somebody that's important. Right? And that's how Ramesh went. And was mechabed. God Lador is mechabed. From his busy, busy schedule, right, went as mechabed to other people, that they shouldn't chas v'shalom feel alone. in any way. And that's what Bilam, as much as he tried to see the negativity in Klal Yisrael and to curse them out, he realized that and the person has to realize that every person is like that. Right? To understand what Bilam said, to understand this a bit better. Pasuk says, we learned yesterday, he said to him, Leich no iti el mokamacha. Let's go to a different place. Asher tirenu mishon. We'll see them. Efes katzei usira. We'll see just part of them. V'kuloi lo yisira. But we won't see all of Klal Yisrael. V'kavnali mishon. And curse them from there. Right, what was he trying to say? We're going to see Klal Yisrael. Efes katzei usira. You just see part of them. V'kuloi lo yisira. Right, so one of the famous stories that I grew up with was from Shlomo Karbach. Used to say over the Miser with Yossele the Miser from Krakow. Right, the very famous story of the Yossele the Miser, right, that Yossele the Miser was a massive miser. He lived in Krakow, a very, very wealthy youth, but didn't give a penny to tzedakah. Mamish, garnish from garnish, didn't give anything. And came to the time when he was dying, the mamish on his deathbed, and Chevra Gadisha came and he said, Yossele, yeah, your whole life, you're so wealthy and you never gave a penny to tzedakah. Now's your chance. Tzedakah tatzel mimavos. Yeah, give the tzedakah now. And Yossel said, I can't. Yeah, you have to understand that the musug of a miser in those days. Right, they say once that when it came to a miser, it was dying, Chevra Gadisha came. Right, so they lit the candles, two candles. And the miser says, blow them out. It's not yet time. You're wasting half a candle. Just wait a bit. Not yet. A miser, the way a miser lived, is the mindset of a miser. So they came to him, they said, and they warned, they told Yossele, you never gave a penny to tzedakah. You don't give money now. You don't give money now. We're not going to bury you. We're not going to bury you. What sort of yid are you? Yeah, and Yossele said, Chkenish, I can't. It's so hard for me to give. I'm not giving anything. A short while later, he died, and the Chevra Gadisha, true to the word, We're not burying him. He never gave tzedakah. What sort of yid is he? We're not burying him. The Rav, I think it was the Tosfos Yom Tov, who was the Rav Cracker at the time, said, a yid died, you can't just leave him like this. Right? So give him a pauper's grave, yeah, at the edge of the cemetery. We'll go and we'll bury him. Yeah, they gave him a pauper's burial at the end of the cemetery, at the back of the fence. They gave him a caver. So a few days later, it was Thursday night, Friday, and they start getting knocks on the Rav, gets knocks on the door, one after another. Yeah, all different people are coming. Yeah, we need money for Shabbos. We're also very unusual. What's going on over here? All of a sudden, so many people are coming. I never had so many people knocking on my door that need money for Shabbos. And slowly but surely, he spoke to each one and found out each person, some years ago, they fell on hard times. And they tried everything and they even went to Yossele the Miser. And they asked Yossele, please help us. And Yossele would just throw them out. But he'll take the details, he'll hear the story first. Who are you, where do you live, how much money do you need? And then, every Thursday night, people used to get a few rubles pushed under their door. Every single Thursday night. And then the Rav realized that Yossele the Miser, the grace of Miser, was Yossele the Holy Tzaddik. He used to give so much tzedakah, betzina, right? And then he realized sometimes you only see part of the picture, you don't see the whole picture. Now they say that the Tosfos Yom Tov asked to be buried next to that grave. We go to Krakow, you go to the old Beis HaKvaros, you can take and see the two kvorim next to each other. When you don't see the whole picture, and you only see half of what a person does, you take like a zoom camera, and a person zooms in, right, on a person's negativity, and he doesn't see the whole person, yeah, then you don't see what the person really is. He's really chatich v'lischab, but every year is so special. So Bilam, what we wanted to say was, I want to have a koyach to Mekalo Klal Yisrael. He said, yeah, go to somewhere else, a mokam macha, asher terenu misham, v'vel b'tzi Klal Yisrael, efes kasei usira, v'kulo lo yisira. I only want to see part of them. I don't want to see the whole person. I don't want to see all of Klal Yisrael. Right? But we know, right, have adonis kola adam lekavskos. You look at the word machlekes, yeah, the sheirish, the root of the word machlekes, is mem, ches, lamed, kuf, tof. The shorish of the word is chelik. a parcel, a part. Machlekes is when a person focuses on one part of the person, on the chelik of a yid. Right? And then you have mem and tov, the outer letters, which is amazing, because machlekes just causes destruction by kairach, the whole machlekes, and it just causes death. Right? So coming back to the walls, they offer protection. They also offer privacy. Right? Respecting another person's privacy, realizing that every person is a yochitz. The sheirish of yochid and yachad, v'hi b'shur melech, b'sasev rosh yom, we talk about when Mashiach comes, right? B'sasev rosh yom, yachad, shiftei Yisrael. All the yidden will come together. B'yachad, shiftei Yisrael. Right? The word yachad is the same word as yochid. In order to have achdus, the sheirish of achdus is realizing that every person is a yochid. They have their mahalach. They have what they're doing, and I have my mahalach. Right? When a person realizes that every person is individual, every person has their own mahalach in Yiddishkeit. Every person is different. When I can respect other people's walls and respect their privacy, he's a yochid, that's what that person is. Right? Then there's achdus. Right? The lack of achdus is when everybody thinks everybody has to be the same. When we think that everybody has to fit into the same cookie cutter, right, that is where you don't have that achdus. It's a very, very big challenge because nowadays, right, we live in a society where everybody has to conform. Right? You have to get into a certain school, you have to conform, right? And there's a lack of respect for the individuality and the own journey of other people's Avedus Hashem. Right? And there's very much, we have that social pressure. Yeah, everybody has to fit in and in a certain way, and we'll have to. And that's a lack of achdus. People think, oh, it's achdus. Everybody's doing the same thing. It's not. It's mung faket. That's not achdus. Right? It's everybody has to fit into the way I see things. It's when a person can realize every person is a yochid. Every person has their own path, their own journey, and I respect that. I don't breach his walls. Ukva ha'eh. Right? The walls were breached. It could be that it was that midah keneged midah. Right? The ukva ha'eh, Hashem says, we've breached other people's walls, and we haven't respected their own individuality. When we respect their own individuality, that brings the yochids, that every person is a yochid, that brings the yachad shiftei Yisrael. So that's a bit of an idea of what to focus about on Shivas of the Tammuz, right, to realize that we're taking Golas, and I think this year we feel it much, much more. We see what's going on in this country with all the protests, you know, and anti-Semitism. We feel the Golus much more than in previous years since October the 7th. Right? It's not just when it's Israel, but it's around the world, in New York, and who's going to be the next mayor. Right? It's frightening because it has a worldwide effect. What happens in one country affects the whole world as well. We live in a global village. Right? And it's that time that we could take a stop and think a little bit about why we're still in Golus, right? To work on the barriers, the walls, that have a dual purpose, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us, right, that just like the Hukva Eir was just a warning sign, they still had the Beis HaMikdash, but it was just a warning sign, right, but at that time they didn't take the warning, we should take the seriously, the inspiration, right, that Mashiach should come b'mehera b'yameinu.